12,000 of the indigenous people who lived above the Bakun Dam ended up here, in the twin towns of Asap and Koyan. The government built the towns from scratch, including a small number of shops, now bustling with early evening shoppers. 5 years ago, few of the locals wanted to move here. But now many acknowledge there were some benefits from leaving their isolated villages. Asap and Koyan have electricity, running water, and primary schools. 55-year-old farmer Lan Kula says now everyone has access to medical clinics.
When we lived in the old village, it was very difficult for women giving birth. Everyone was worried about safety of the mother. There is another advantage to living in a town. In terms of the young girls looking for husband, it's also easier here. We are not just one tribe from one village, but many different kinds of people mixing with each other.
Kule notes that change had been coming to her tribe, the Kenya, even before the move. They had voluntarily stopped the tradition of long ears, for example. When Kule was a young woman, the elders had slit her earlobes and over many years allowed them to hang down 12 inches, weighted with jewelry.
We don't cut the young girls' earlobes like we used to. Some children are active in sports. They can't run 200-meter race with long ears. On special occasion, we put jewelry on a long piece of cloth and hang it over the ear to represent the old tradition.
But Kule and others say voluntarily changing traditions is one thing. It's quite another to be forcibly moved by the Malaysian government. In the process, she says, they lost the unity and cultural traditions that had sustained their people for hundreds of years. It's not that the government didn't try to accommodate the tribes. It paid compensation, it provided farmland, and built traditional longhouses on stilts with wide verandas. But plenty went wrong, says farmer Nyang Tapa. He sits cross-legged on his veranda. Tapa complains that here in town, alcoholism and glue sniffing have become major problems because people don't have jobs.
The young men, they abuse this alcohol and get fighting each other. So the problem like glue snipping is not common at all homes. It's only here that we found glue snipping.
People here in Asap and Koyan have maintained the traditional tribal system of elders and headmen. They try to resolve disputes among neighbors and punish minor offenses with fines. But residents can ignore tribal rulings and go straight to local courts and police. And, says farmer Kong Anchuk, the authorities aren't very helpful.
To me personally, I don't expect the police can solve the problem. Because whenever I see a problem, cases that they brought to the police can always say that, oh, you people are always like that. You always argue between each other. That is the way of living you have here in Asap. We cannot do anything.
Anchuk says lots of things have contributed to the social problems here. The compensation money is running out, and people complain they can't live off the government-supplied land. A few entrepreneurs have benefited by setting up businesses, but Anchuk says most indigenous people would have preferred to stay on their original land near the Bakun Dam.
My coming here is that I want to test the government. How true is the government to develop us? I want to see that.
Five years ago, another group of Kenya rejected the move to the towns. They decided to establish a new village on tribal land high above the Bakun Dam, a three-hour journey from Asap and Koyan. It's called Longlawan. As a welcoming ceremony for visitors, villagers don beautifully embroidered straw hats and special vests to perform traditional dances. People gather here at the house of the headman. An old woman moves slowly, arms curved and back arched to show beauty. Then a man takes the floor, stomping fiercely to simulate attacking the enemy. After a few hours, something unexpected happens. The dancing stops, and villagers form an impromptu community meeting. Translator Sem Kyung explains what happened last night when one woman got drunk on homemade rice wine.
The lady drank and turning violent. She becoming so violent that everybody is running away from her. And there's one lady hit by her. But now come to the attention of the elders in the community. Now the community want to impose the law of fine 500 ringgit because this is the second offense.
500 ringgit, or about $130, is a lot of money in rural Malaysia. Sem says the village headman, Gara Jalong, has offered her a compromise.
Gara is also expecting that lady to come and apologize for what she has been doing. If she come to apologize, they will reduce the fine, even to 50 ringgit.
Running a justice system, especially a traditional one based on consensus, is not easy. Some village elders want to enforce the 500 ringgit penalty because they themselves paid fines in the past.
I would like to challenge the elders here. You must go because I have paid mine, he said, because he was once been fined because of drinking. So you have to chase them, he said.
Just then, as if in a scene from a courtroom drama, a messenger who has met with the offender walks up the steps to the longhouse veranda.
She accept the fine. But at the moment, I don't have any money to pay. I admit that I'm wrong, so I accept to pay. But I cannot pay now.
As dawn breaks the next morning, it seems likely that the community will accept the apology and impose a smaller fine. Traditional justice is alive and well. Long Lawan villagers may have rejected the government's resettlement plan, but they haven't rejected modernity. 3 years ago, two American groups teamed up to bring light to the village. Green Empowerment of Portland, Oregon, and the Borneo Project of Berkeley, California, developed a mini hydroelectric project to provide the village with power. Water from a small waterfall flows past a turbine. Villagers are trained to run the power station and install and maintain the wires to every longhouse. A man throws the switch and the longhouses light up. Liao Angyi, who was headman of the village when the project began, explains that the village collectively owns and maintains the system.
When the vines and tree branches grow over the electric lines, we are all responsible for trimming them back. From the very beginning to this day, there is no individual ownership of this mini hydro project. It is owned by the community as a whole.
At night, people gather at the former headman's longhouse, sometimes to play guitar, other times to watch soap operas. Long Lawan has only 400 people, so its problems are easier to handle than those in a town of 12,000. But villagers here say their decision to maintain democratic, traditional ways and not follow the government model was key. The villagers plan to continue operating their own power grid and governing themselves while seeking assistance from the Malaysian government for an elementary school and medical clinic. Then there's the Bakun Dam, the construction of which led to the evacuation of the indigenous people in the first place. The $5 billion project that will flood 172,000 acres of primeval rainforest was originally scheduled for completion by 2003, but problems with financing and contractors have pushed that date to the end of 2007, at the earliest.